the climbing stick has finally gone metal-free. Our goal for the Carbon SS climbing sticks was to make them as light as possible without sacrificing durability. And we wanted to make them stack flush so they're compact for saddle hunters and tree stand hunters. The new aerospace carbon fiber technology allowed us to achieve ultra-light weight specs and removed all moving parts and hardware for improved durability. The sticks also feature our patent-pending metal-free attachment method that makes setup easier, faster, and quieter. The Carbon SS climbing sticks are made right here in the USA and come with a 5-year manufacturer's warranty. For more information, visit latitudeoutdoors.com. The mobile hunter is obsessed with exploring unfamiliar places, and this is what our gear is designed to do. At Latitude Outdoors, we build mobile hunting equipment for hunters who like to move often and move fast. Whether you're an experienced whitetail hunter or new to the game, if you want to be mobile, we have options that are worth considering. Our saddles, climbing sticks, and platforms are made right here in the USA and are available at latitudeoutdoors.com. Thanks for checking out the gear and good luck this season.
Welcome to the Life Outdoors Podcast. Our mission is to educate, entertain, and motivate. We speak life into and through the outdoors. Now join your hosts, Nate Bailey and Gage Bailey, as we navigate through the mountains of this life.
So if you followed the Life Outdoors or Barebow Hunter for any time, you probably think that we started like in 2016. That's when we first started putting videos out on the YouTube channel. But quite honestly, it started a long time ago, way before Gage was around and even before I was married. It actually started in Adak, Alaska, of all places. I don't know if a lot of you guys know where Adak is, but Adak is up. It's one of the very furthest islands out on the Aleutian Chain, and it's actually closer to Mother Russia than to the inland Alaska. So it's a long ways out there. What had happened is we'd been out for probably a good month doing what the Coast Guard does, patrolling the EEZ, which is a line between Russia and America. It's the line that divides the fishing waters or the economic zone. And we patrol that to make sure that nobody's sneaking into our area. And we also did boardings on domestic vessels, you know, and our own fishing fleet. And we also did, search and rescue or whatever else the Coast Guard did up there. But we were in Adak, and let me back up just a little bit. When I got out of high school, I was working for the Forest Service, and I wanted to stay within the Forest Service and do a program. It didn't work out, so I quit the Forest Service and looked at going into the Coast Guard with one mission in mind, really, and that was to make it to Alaska so I could hunt all the animals that Alaska had. And it worked out thus far. I was doing very well hunting a lot of animals up there, but there was a couple of things that got in the way of that, and that's where this story begins, really, and this is where the Life Outdoors really begins. So we were up there, and I had mid-patrol break, so I had the day off, and that meant that I went into Adak, and the day started early at the bowling alley, and of course, we started drinking, and we did quite a bit of that, and it slopped over to the E-Club, and then spent, I don't know, probably $150 that day there, and I'm laying in my rack, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not what life is all about. This is horrible. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's a slow thing that happens to you. You know, you get up to Alaska and you're like, you got all these dreams about what you're going to do, what you want to do, all the fishing, all the hunting and all that stuff's around. And you think, I'm going to do all this, but, then something happens and you start going to a party and then the darkness comes. If anybody that lives in Alaska knows about the darkness, you got to deal with it. It's bad enough in Oregon. I'm having a hard enough time with it this year in Oregon for some reason, but Alaska's even worse. It's, 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock is the only time that has any kind of light in Kodiak. You go further up north and it's even worse than that. But I was laying in my rack and I was feeling like, man, you know, this is not what I really came up here to do. And why am I living this way? Why is it that every time that I go into a port, I think about going and finding a bar and getting some alcohol and just getting sloshed? I came up here for a completely different purpose than that. Anyhow, I was laying, and it was probably like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how much drinking I was doing. I started that early, and then to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was already done because I had to be, or else I probably wouldn't have made it back to the ship. But I was laying there, and going through the stuff in my head and thinking what in the world was going on, trying to keep the ship from spinning. Have you guys ever been there? Have you guys ever been in the situation where you're sitting in there and you're trying to figure out what in the world, where is your life headed? Why are you doing what you're doing? I mean, I think we all have, right? We've all been in this circumstance before. Maybe it's not alcohol. Maybe it's something else that gets in the way of what you think life should be about. So we've all been there, right? We've all probably stepped back and looked at what in the world was going on in our lives and tried to kind of reestimate what direction we were heading in. Well, I was doing this, and this was a later fall day, and it was staying light a little bit longer. But as I was there, I was in the petty officer berthing area, and these two other petty officers came in, and they just got back from taking their rifles to the armory, and they were talking about the great time they had, and they'd been out caribou hunting. And they were talking about how the tundra was and how they saw a bunch of ptarmigan. They didn't get into the caribou, but they spent the whole day out in the tundra seeing something completely new. The exact thing that I actually joined the Coast Guard for, they were doing. And I sat there and listened to them, and they didn't know I was in my rack. I have a top rack, and I was just sitting there listening, and they didn't know I was listening to them. And I started just listening to the stuff that they were doing and the adventures they were having. And I started thinking, man, what in the world am I doing here? This thing that is getting in the way of what I really came up here for is, you know, partying and alcohol. The stuff that I talked myself into doing because it was such a hard place to be in the winter, you know. Or in the as the days were getting shorter, or as I was out on patrol, or all these things that people talk themselves into, and they get in the way of life. So I started thinking, man, these things that I think are really cool and I'm doing a lot of are really getting in the way of my life. And it was during this, and I couldn't sleep for the next 4 hours. I thought this stuff through. You guys ever have where it races in your mind, this stuff just kind of eats you from the inside and you have to think it through and you think, well, even in my drunken state, I started sobering up pretty quick. It's weird how that happens when you start really using some brain power, but I started really thinking about what in the world is going on. And so I started this introspective thought that's where I went to, is this introspective thinking. And so what that means is I started really looking at myself and picking at every little scab that was inside of me and pulling up all the stuff that made me happy and pulling up the stuff that I knew I was putting in the way of that stuff. And I started really thinking introspectively. And later in life, since then, I've used this whole introspective thinking to actually start moving my ideas and my mind to start looking at myself. And I think that's something that we all should start doing. But anyhow, going back to in my rack, I thought at that very moment, I thought, I am not living life. I'm letting things get in the way of actually living and enjoying what I was set out to do. And that is the time when the Life Outdoors actually was born. Because that's when I say speak life into and through the outdoors, that's our motto. When I say that, that's what I mean. That I was not living the life that I was letting something else get in the way of it. And It's funny. We humans do this. Have you ever noticed that, like, your Labrador Retriever, he never lets that happen. He never lets that happen. He does not let the things get in the way of what he was created to do here. So a lab with good bloodlines where he was created to fetch ducks, he will not let anything get in the way of him fetching ducks. Cold, even commands sometimes, right? Even when you're trying to make him not break, he still breaks to go get those ducks. He doesn't allow the things to get in the way. Both the dogs I have now, both of them, you could throw a hamburger in front of their face. If a duck fell, they would leave the hamburger and go get the duck, because that's what they know they were made for. So it was through this introspective thinking that I really understood that we, as humans, this is kind of the way that we have to do things, because we are different than labs. And there's three ways that I think this introspective thinking works. And those three things are, and I think as humans, you guys, you could agree with me here or not. I think you will, though. I think if you listen to these three things, you're going to agree with me. And I'll name the three things, and I'll kind of describe them a little bit to you. But the three things are: realize that you're a spiritual being. Realize that you're something different than just having a soul. Now, I know a lot of people put soul and spirit together, but I'm under the impression that we have a soul and a spirit. Number two, and we'll touch on that in just a minute. Number two, you got to ask yourself, where did you get off track? Where did you quit living? I did. And it was a slow simmer, right? It was a slow simmer of spending more time in dark, smoky bars than out in the stuff that I really was after. And that was the adventure of Alaska. That was the adventure of being out and seeing all the animals and all those things I was placing before. And then the third thing is what influences were creating that in my mind. So let's go back to the first thing and talk about this idea that we're spiritual beings. Now, this is not something that we're taught in mainstream society. Quite honestly, they don't want you to think that you're a spiritual being. We live in a world where we're told that we're just evolved amoebas. And that all that is the natural world, that there's just molecules, that there is nothing other than molecules, that there's no driving force. But realize that if you're going to do any kind of introspective thinking, you're actually calling out your own thoughts. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Have you guys ever had, I'll say it in a different way, actually. Have you guys ever had an internal argument? I do, even hunting. It's almost like I call myself, don't, dummy, they're not going to be down there. You know for a fact that they're going to be up here. But have you ever had internal arguments over, say, something moral? If you're not a spiritual being and all there is matter, then nothing matters other than matter. Nothing matters other than what you want to do. See, and that's where this is a problem for a lot of people, because if there is a spirit, then they have to answer to that spirit. And the spirit guides your thinking. It's not the other way around. A lot of people would like to say that the neurons and the electrons and the molecules guide your thinking, just the gray matter up in your head guides your thinking. But that's not the truth. The truth is your spirit is always arguing, trying to get you to think right. And that's completely different than what animals do. But what has happened is we have a scientific community that has been teaching this to us since the day that we were in grade school, and more so now, even in the school system now. But it teaches you that all you are is an advanced machine that came from primordial ooze, that came from nothing. Which doesn't make any sense to me. That whole nothing part doesn't make any sense. But another thing that doesn't make any sense to me is the fact that you do argue with yourself. Now, that argument over moral things, over like whether or not you should do something morally, even when people aren't around. Have you ever been by yourself and you know for a fact that you're not going to get caught? You know for a fact that you're not going to get caught to do, and if you do something wrong, but you still don't allow yourself to do it. You got to ask yourself, what is that? That's spirit. That's spirit stuff. Now, dogs don't have this, by the way. Now, dogs do have the dogs and other animals. They do have this personality, and I would call that soul. They have personality. They love. They do all these things, but they don't make moral judgments on. A dog doesn't make a moral judgment on whether or not he should mate with another female outside of his household. He doesn't do that. What does a dog do if another dog's in heat? Yeah, he mates. If he has any chance at all, and if there's no human in his way, even if there is a human in his way, he'll figure out a way. Have you ever been around male dogs? that's why you know that slang "you dog" is out there is because of that. Well, how about elk? Elk are the same way. They're gonna mate. Elk do not think that like, oh, you know what? It's a moral obligation for me to stand by this woman and to help raise the family. They don't have that moral obligation. Even a hamburger up on the counter, even if the dog knows that he's not supposed to get it, he's not making a moral decision not to get it. Understand that he is actually wondering whether or not he's going to get whacked if he gets it. But that's not morality. That's not what moral is. He's not doing it because it's a moral dilemma to him. He's been whacked a couple times before, and he knows that dad might be around the corner if he does get it. But here's the thing, is he always will go after it. So that is something that you have to understand, is that you do have a spirit. And that spirit, if you're not arguing with yourself, that spirit's completely broken. Maybe you did argue with yourself for a long time, and you're like, you put that argument out of the way because it was very intrusive into what you really wanted to do. And it was, it made you feel like you weren't able to do what you wanted to do. And it was very freeing to quit thinking about those moral things. Well, I'm telling you, that is what the world is trying to get you to think. It's trying to get you to think that there is no morality, that there is no spiritual things, that, you know, all you have to do is act on your impulses, on the chemicals of your body. You don't have to think about the things that you're doing anymore. Well, I'm telling you, friends, that is a life-robbing thought. That's what I did, you know. I made all sorts of excuses to drink and not go hunting and not go look around and not live life. And I think that's true for everybody that gets involved in these things that are too much, that you're doing too much. Now, I'm not against drinking by say, but I am against when it becomes something that gets in the way of other things or becomes a problem. So that's the foundation of any kind of introspective thinking, is you got to actually understand that you are a lot more than just your thoughts. You could make those thoughts change. And the way you do that is with your spirit. The second thing is, how did I get off track? Where do I get off track? How is it that humans can talk themselves into anything that they really want to do, even though they know it's wrong? Have you ever thought that through? Have you ever talked yourself into doing the wrong thing? I think we do every time that we do the wrong thing. We know it's wrong. There's something deep inside of us yelling at us, don't do that. But we do it anyhow. And that voice gets duller and duller and duller the more we ignore it. And it really does. But that voice is actually the most important voice that you have. That's the most important thing that you could act on. That's the most important impulse that you have, is that voice, and that's your spirit. Now, if you're at that point where you're like, yeah, man, I used to do that, or maybe you're at the point where you're thinking, yeah, I freed myself from all that crap. I don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. Well, let me tell you something. You'll have your day in the rack. You'll look back and go, man, I have missed a lot of life because of this. And it's because I did not listen to that tiny, small voice that was there. That's where you get off track. It's when you start getting yourself to where you don't listen to the truth. And that voice is the truth. Now, I don't want to say that all voices you hear in your head are the truth, but you do know when you're listening to something that's wrong, and you do know when you listen to something that's right. So the third thing, it's easier to start listening to the wrong voices if you have the wrong influences. A wise man once said, "As you can tell who a man is by who he hangs around with." Now, that's not to say that people hang around with the wrong people. It's not to say that you shouldn't be around different people. That's not what it's saying here. What it is saying is, if you adhere to the same ideas that a lot of people of your social structure adhere to, you could tell what you believe. Now, I do know that there's a lot of missionaries, and Jesus himself hung around with drunkards and harlots, and but you never see him agreeing with their philosophy or giving in to their thoughts, right? How many times have you done that as a person? You've given in to somebody's whining about something that you know is a lie. They're lying to themselves. They're running it past you because they want your approval for that lie, because that'll allow them to keep lying to themselves. And you do it out of, because you don't want, maybe don't want conflict, or two, you think it's polite to do such a thing or something like that. Maybe you're doing that, but here's the deal is, if you start giving in to the people that you're around, to their ideas, if they're wrong, that's where this is going, and it makes it easier for you to dull out the voice that tells you right and wrong in your mind. And that's that spirit. So understand those things. These are the things that you have to understand. And these are the things that took me away from life. These are the things that took me away from, I could have been out there chasing caribou right alongside the other guys. Matter of fact, I sit there and watch them, and I started thinking about it, and it took me quite a few years to actually catch on to this idea that there is life beyond all the things that this world's trying to sell us. And that led me down a road to really search out what this was supposed to look like. And if there is a spiritual thing, what does that mean? If we are spirit, and you guys, we are absolutely spirit. But if we're that, then what's that really mean? That's the one thing that we have to really think about is, what does that mean? Where do we find out more about this spiritual thing inside of us? Because if this is the thing that really drives us, and it is, this is, then we have to really pay attention to it, find out the truth about it, and see where it comes from. And you guys, if you sit and think about what was said here, I think you'll understand that you are a spiritual being, and that everything dwells from your spirit, that you do argue with your own thoughts, and you should be arguing from a place of truth, not a place of lies. You know, we tell ourselves lies a lot of times. I told myself a lot of lies that kept me away from life and true life, living life in the outdoors. And that's, so that's really where the Life Outdoors started, is because I had this epiphany that I was passing over life by dulling myself with alcohol. And it may not even be alcohol for you. Maybe maybe you're not having a good time living out, you know, just hunting. Maybe you're hunting for all of the Instagram likes, or maybe it's you're filming every hunt and now you're being pushed into trying to kill a next biggest bull or a next bigger bull and a next bigger bull, and you're not really living out what you set out to do. It's easy to do, man. I looked at my Instagram feed this year, and I actually was hunting blacktail deer, and my friends were putting deer down around me everywhere, and I have this YouTube channel now that I'm trying to film all of our hunts, but people want to watch, you know, deer being killed and things like that, and it's just not happening. I'm sitting in a tree stand thinking about all the things that I could be doing rather than sitting in a tree stand, and I was just not enjoying myself. It's much like the same thing that I was doing with alcohol before. And I started getting this introspective thinking again. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I got wood I need to get in. I could be duck hunting. I could be doing all these. I by the way, guys, I love to duck hunt. I love it. And I get this real, I don't know, I get upset almost with the black-tailed deer because none of them come in during the day. They do come in during the day, but it's like 1 hour out of a whole week that they come through the day where you could actually shoot the thing. And you have to sit in that tree stand for that hour. And it just drives me completely, absolutely insane. And I'll get on the ground and I'll hunt blacktails on the ground and I'll chase them around and I see a lot of them, but they're just right out of my range. I really don't enjoy it. I really absolutely don't enjoy blacktail hunting. And I was thinking, well, then why am I spending so much time doing it? Because there's something that I'm doing. It's there. Maybe it's trying to fulfill a YouTube channel or trying to maybe putting pressure on myself, thinking that, you know, if I'm going to be successful at building this Life Outdoors thing, that I'm going to have to put these animals down. And quite honestly, after I've really looked at myself and I really started introspective thinking and using those three ways of thinking about it, I just came to the conclusion that so be it. I'm not going to do it. If I'm going to continue with the Life Outdoors, I have to do what I like to do, because it's not going to be real. There's nothing real about it if I'm sitting in a tree stand and I don't like being there. So that's what we're doing. And I thought this would be great to share with you guys. Maybe you guys are in this boat. Maybe you guys have looked at some of these things before. Maybe you got something in your life that's getting in the way of true living. And so that's why we created the Life Outdoors, is to actually try to help you guys live the lives that you're created to live. That's the edifying part of what we do. And we're going to go over this. I'm going to kind of show you some introspective thinking and my road to think the way that I think now and how I got there, the things that happened in between, and the hunting was a big aspect of that. That's why we do the Life Outdoors podcast. So if that's something that you guys want to follow along with, subscribe and keep up with what we're doing here. You just put it, it'll show up in your feed if you just subscribe, and you'll see and you'll walk down that road with us and see how this thinking, this introspective thinking has moved me to where my spirit now drives me, not 100% of the time, not even 75%, but it does always push me in a place where I want to do what I should do. Sometimes I don't do that, but at the same time, and sometimes I'll sit in a tree stand for too long because of my pride. You see where that's going? And then I fight with myself the whole time I'm in the tree stand. You see where that's going? You see how easy this stuff is to allow to creep into your life? So that's what we're doing here at the Life Outdoors. I hope you guys enjoy it. And please follow along as we travel through this together. Until then, keep living.
Thanks for listening to the Life Outdoors podcast. Join the Life Nation by spreading this podcast or by going over to our YouTube channel, giving us a subscribe, or even by following us on Instagram. All these things help spread the life. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Keep living.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. In wild country, the challenge of what's outside brings you closer to what's inside. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, presented by Expedition Enterprises.
It's going to get a little hairy.
Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Watch Primo's Truth About Hunting, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, as they chase turkey, elk, deer, waterfowl, and predators all over North America.
That there what you call a limb hanger.
Now on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.